The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
God, thank you so much for that, Mrs. Baldivis. We appreciate that. Starting a brand new series on this coming Wednesday night. I hope you'll try to be here. And it's on Why I Cannot. Why I Cannot. It'll be a fantastic series. You'll enjoy hearing it. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, if I may reread this for reiteration's sake, where the Bible says, "My son, forget not my law." It says, "But let thine heart keep my commandments." Now, why? He says, "For length of days and long life and peace," the Bible says, "shall they add to thee." So the Bible here is talking to that which I believe is a father, or giving that, if you will, a talk from a father to that which is a son. And he says, now here's some things I want you to understand. Don't forget the law. Don't forget to keep the commandments. And let me tell you the advantage of doing that. The advantage of doing that is for length of days, for long life, for peace. Those things will be added onto you. Now, by the way, as we get into what we call some people call it a New Year's resolution. Some people will call it just setting new goals and dreams, trying to be able to accomplish different things in 2017 than we did perhaps in 2016. I want to speak on New Year's resolution principles. You know, as we look in the Bible, we see different principles. Now, you've heard people say, well, I tell you what, things are going to be different this next year. You've heard that. You've heard people say this, well, I'm going to change. And then they'll tell what area they purpose to change in. You've heard people say, I'm going to be a better spouse. You've heard people say, I'm going to be a better family person, husband, wife, father, mother. You've heard people say, well, I'm going to read my Bible through this next year. I've not done it yet. I'm going to do it. You've heard people say this next year, I'm going to get all my ducks in a row. That's because they own a duck farm, okay? You've heard people say, here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to keep the same resolutions that I made last year, but this year, for real, I'm going to keep them. You know, you've heard people say all sorts of stuff about resolutions. I looked up the most resolutions that's been made, most popular, I guess I should say, the ones that are made more common every year than any other year, the ones that kind of set the bar up high. Number five would be this, the top five is, I'm going to take up a new hobby. That's the top in the top five, number five. I'm going to take up a new hobby. Number four is this, I'm going to make more money. I'm going to make more money. Number three, and I'm talking about resolutions that people make that are common to our nation that are the most popular. Number three is this, and that is, I'm going to improve my relationships. I'm going to improve my relationships. Number two is this, I'm going to stop smoking. I'm going to stop. Must be a lot of people that smoke if that's number two. I'm going to stop smoking. Now, number one, can you guess what it is? I'm going to lose weight. It's number one every single year. I'm going to lose weight every single year. The reason it's number one is because the people that make it never do. And they say the average person will make a New Year's resolution starting on January 1st, and they do very good because they keep it until January 15th. And so most people do not keep. You know, one man was standing. He had this New Year's resolution, and his resolution was, I'm going to lose weight. That's what I'm going to do. And so he went in, and he's in the restroom there, you know, outside of the bedroom. And his wife walks in, and he's standing on the scale. Man, he's got his stomach all tucked in, and she says, oh, quit that. You really think that's going to help you? I mean, you got your stomach tucked in, and you think that is really going to help you. He said, yes, I do. She said, it is not going to help you. Just sucking in your stomach is not. He said, yes, it is. She said, it is not. He said, yes, it is. I've got to be able to see the scales. Now, you know, can I tell you that it's important to be able to try and keep some New Year's resolutions. One man said he's living in a retirement community, and he saw this lady. Of course, these are older people, and he saw this lady, and oh boy, I tell you what, she just caught his eye. I mean, she just caught his eye ever so much, and he just kept watching her, and finally, she started watching him, and one day, he got up the nerve. They'd been seeing each other and eating lunches together for about a year and a half, and he got up the nerve, and he said, "Will you marry me?" And she said, "I certainly will." The next morning, he woke up, and he said, "You know, I remember asking you a question yesterday, but I forgot what it was." And she said, "Well, I remember somebody asking me that if I would marry them, but I forgot who they were." Okay, forget it. Let me just get right into the message and be a help, okay? There's categories that, of course, people look at in New Year's resolutions, and most of the time it's, I want to look better, I want to feel better, I want to live longer. Most of the time it's having to do more with me and my outlook, with trying to help improve a relationship with someone else or something of that nature. But what I did is I took our Bibles this morning, and I was able to evaluate, what is it that God would have us to do in making, if God did believe and if God so wanted us to purpose some things in our lives about these New Year's resolutions? What is it? And I believe there's one particular chapter in the Bible that just kind of sums it all up. And so take your Bible, go to Proverbs chapter 3, and we're just going to bathe ourselves in it this morning. But Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 1, as I read it again for the third time, he says, "My son, forget not my law." He says, "And let thine heart keep my commandments." Now, he's about to tell us some things about the law. He's about to tell us some things about his commandments. He's about to tell us, if you would please, some things that is expected. Verse 2, the Bible says, "For length of days." So some of the things that we're going to cover this morning is going to help you to have length of days. Some of the things that we're going to cover this morning is going to help you to have a long life. Some of the things that we're going to cover this morning is depicted here and seen and read in verse 2 is going to help you to have peace. It's going to help you to be able to add these things to your life. Now, by the way, can I tell you that God would have us to be able to honor him in all that we do, and so doing, God will bless us. So let me give you some resolutions this morning. Resolution number 1, let mercy and truth never leave you. Let mercy and truth never leave you. Look at verse 3 and 4. The Bible says, "Let not mercy and truth forsake thee." It says, "Bind them," it says, "about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart." Look at verse 4. The Bible says, "So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man." All right? So what's a good New Year's resolution to be able to take up as a believer? Statement number 1 would be this. Mercy and truth not, or let it never leave you. Always be merciful. What is mercy? Mercy is withholding judgment from one that rightfully deserves to be judged. What is mercy? Mercy is withholding wrath from one that rightfully deserves to abide under wrath. What is mercy? Mercy is withholding that which we rightfully deserve, such as with the believer, you and I rightfully deserve, if we pay for the debt that we owe for our sin, to burn in hell forever. But because of the mercy of God, we have that judgment withheld from us as we have accepted Christ as Savior. Because of grace, there's a difference between mercy and grace. Mercy is God withholding his judgment. Grace is God giving that which we do not deserve, unmerited favor, if you would please, in the sight of God. We get to go to heaven because of the very grace of God. All right? Now, we understand this, that God is talking here about that which is mercy. He said, "Let not mercy and truth forsake you." In other words, if I, as I have been merciful to you, so you ought to be merciful to other people. In other words, don't hold grudges. You know, grudges turn into bitterness, and bitterness turns into that which is wrath, and wrath turns into so many other things. And so you have to be careful to forgive people. By the way, if you forgive your husband before he transgresses against you, then you're not going to wind up holding a grudge against him. If you forgive your wife before before she transgresses against you, then you're not going to wind up holding a grudge against her. If you forgive other church members before they transgress against you, then you're not going to wind up holding a grudge and dying a bitter old person. Now, can I say, statement number one, let mercy and truth never leave you. You be truthful with people, you help people, but you be quick to forgive people. You be quick to be able to resolve issues, and you be quick to be able to be merciful to people. A good New Year's resolution. Statement number two, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Notice in your Bible, Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 5 and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your own understandings. And by the way, that's the one thing that would trip you up in trusting the Lord with all of your heart. You're leaning too much into your own understandings. You know, most of the time, your ways is not going to be God's ways, and your thoughts are not going to be His thoughts. Most of the time. All right? So what do? You get your Bible down and say, God, show me, and this is the guidebook for the Christian. I don't do things because I feel like necessarily doing things. I do things because God says to do things, and I want to line up being obedient to God. All right? And so we understand this. He says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not into thy own understandings. Normally, a person that is leaning to their own understandings has a hard time trusting in the Lord. The Bible says, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. All right, so I'm supposed to take my understanding of God, and I'm supposed to trust Him with that. You know, one guy was standing on the side of a cliff, and the other cliff was about a half a mile off or so, and the guy said this. He said, hey, if you get in the wheelbarrow, I'll push you across. And he said, no, I'm not getting in that wheelbarrow, okay? And so he decided not to do that. Now, whether the wheelbarrow would have made it across or not, I don't know. But I'm asking you, if God told you to do something, would you be willing to do it? One guy fell off a cliff one day, and he was hanging on the edge of the cliff. And he said, is anybody down there? You've heard the story. He yelled it several times. He said, is anybody down there? Is anybody down there? Is anybody down there? He hollered it several times. And finally, there came a voice back. And they said, I'm here. Let go. And so he hollered back, who are you? Who are you? Who are you? And he said, the voice came back and said, I'm God, and let go. And then he yelled back, is anybody else down there? You know, and that's the way we are. You know, we want to trust God in our own comfort zone. We want to trust God with things that we can explain, things that we can understand, things that we can put on paper, things that make sense to us. Here's what we want. We want God to come to where we live and do everything that we want Him to do to please us, because after all, we're right. Did it ever occur to you, you might not be right? Did it ever occur to you that God is right? Did it ever occur to you that we should decide that we're going to live by principles of the Word of God? Now, how do we do that? Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not into your own understandings. Sometimes trusting God, listen to me, is that which is faith. What is faith? Somebody gave an acrostic to that, which is the word faith. It said, forsaking all, I trust Him. All right? And so what are we doing? We're putting our trust in Him. We're not putting our trust in ourselves. Hey, that's a pretty good resolution that this year, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put my trust in the Lord with all my heart. I'm not going to lean to my own understanding. I'm going to pray about things before I do things. I'm going to ask God to give me guidance before I step out. I'm going to find definite principles in the Bible to be able to help me direct my path in the way that I should go before I step out making a decision. Then he says, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Now, wouldn't it be great if we lived such a life of honoring God that we said, God, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask you if I should make a decision. Before I make a decision, then I'm going to trust you to lead me. And before I even take a step on the path, I'm going to know that you're leading me. Wouldn't that be good? Wouldn't it be good to trust Him that much? Wouldn't it be good to be able to have the peace of God that much dwelling inside of you because you have that much trust in Him? Resolution number one, let mercy and truth never leave you. Resolution number two, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Resolution number three, do not be wise in your own eyes. I didn't say a wise guy. I said, but don't be wise in your own eyes. Here's what it says. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 7 and 8, as the Bible reads here. It says, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. All right? So what does he say? He says, don't be wise in your own eyes. By the way, that's a pretty good New Year's resolution. Trust in the Lord. Let him lead you. Let him guide you. Now, the reason God says, I want to be able to do that in your life is because he says, I want to give you health. I want to give you health. You know, you might be trusting in you, and because you're trusting in you, you worry a lot. Well, I wonder if I made the right decision. Wouldn't it be good to make decisions based on the Bible, and you know the Bible is right? You know the, say amen. You know the Bible is true. You know God's not going to mislead you. So what if we got our Bibles down, and we actually got in our Bibles this year, and we opened them up and said, God, show me principles, whether I agree with them or not. Show me principles that you would have me to appropriate in my life so that I can make the right steps in order to assure your guidance in my life. Wouldn't that be good? Wouldn't it be so good to be so close to God in 2017 that you knew that the decision that you're about to make had the very blessings and the guidance of God on it before you made that decision? Wouldn't that be good? See, and then it doesn't matter the results. Well, you know, I made a decision and it didn't turn out the way that I thought it would. Well, maybe what we should have done is trust God and follow godly principles whereby it doesn't matter how you feel about a decision. What matters is the decision based on that which is truth. Okay, I'm saying let mercy and truth never leave you. Statement number two, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Statement number three, be not wise in your own eyes. Statement number four, talk about New Year's resolution. Honor the Lord with your wealth. Honor the Lord with your wealth. You know, when I found this verse years ago, I'm telling you, it changed my life forever. I was 18 or 19 years of age. I just left for Bible college, and Brother Roloff was sharing the platform and sharing the pulpit with a fellow by the name of Bill Stafford, and they were preaching a stewardship conference, and I saw this as Bill Stafford pointed this thing out in one of those great messages that he preached that night in that stewardship conference. And when he hit these verses, I'm telling you, it changed my life forever in my giving. Notice what it says here. The Bible says, honor the Lord, verse 9, honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. Now, this is the only promise in the Bible you'll find that's true in this capacity. The Bible says, so shall thy barns be filled with what? Plenty. And thy presses shall burst forth, it says, burst out with new wine. All right? So here's what he says. He says, when I find a people that will honor me, no matter who that person is, when I find a people that will honor me with the first fruits of their substance and of all their increase, anything that's an increase. In other words, when we started practicing this many, 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 many years ago, even before I got married, and then practiced it, of course, throughout our married life. So when the Lord would give me a suit, I would value the suit and I'd go pay a tithe on it. What am I doing? I'm honoring the Lord with my substance and with the first fruits of all that God gave me in my increase. And you know, I've never run out of suits. Now, I may outgrow a suit, but God has always been good. You know, I've never run out of vehicles. God has just been so good. And when we learn to honor him with the first fruits of all of our increase, whenever God gives you something and you show him, and with us, we will pay a tithe off of all the increases that God gives us. And God likes that so much. Here's what he says to me. He says, Mike, I like what you're doing so much. I'm going to go and I'm going to fill your barns. Right. And by the way, can I testify, my barns have been filled. I mean, over and over again, does God fill my barns? Does God fill my barns? Because I take and I honor him with the increase of my substances and with the increase, the first increase, if you would please, of all the first fruits that he gives me, with all the things that he gives my way. I give, and if you would please, a tithe off of that. I give off of the increase of that. And God says, boy, I like that so much. And by the way, I think it's rare. You know, because I've talked to different ones, and to be honest with you, when I share it, and can I tell you, I share it with excitability, because I know what God's done for me. I know what God's done for my children. I see the hand of God in their lives financially, and I see my family and what God has done, and it's just been a neat thing. And so because of that, I can share this as a testimony of a great thing that God does. But, you know, a lot of people don't plug into it. A lot of people think, well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to pay my tithe, and I'm going to give an offering, and I'll just get by. But God doesn't want you just to get by. See, here's the deal. God wants you to trust him not just with your soul. He wants you to trust him with your very life, with your very substance. And when you step out and you harness this and be able to understand that God is the one that wants to be a blessing to you, he's not in it to get from you. He's in it to see if you will be obedient to him so he can bless you. It's almost like that one football player, and the guy, you know, he's getting the football, and he's saying, okay, when you go out there, I want you to cut to the right. And so he gets the football, he gets back here, and he gets ready to throw it. The guy goes out, makes his own plan, cuts to the left. Yet the guy takes the football, and he throws it out to the right. And then this guy that was the wide receiver comes in and said, why didn't you throw it? I was open. He said, you didn't follow the plan. The blessing was there. But you went your own direction, therefore you missed the blessing. Can I tell you, that's what happens in a lot of Christians' lives. We say, well, I tell you what, this is what I think I ought to do. And that's how come God says, don't go by your thinking. Don't go by your human reasoning. You let me be God in your life, God says. You let me be the one that directs you. You trust in me with all of that which you have, with all your life. Don't lean into your own understanding. But you put me first, and I'll bless you. You don't put me first, no blessing, no barns are filled. It's a wonderful truth. Now, can I tell you, here's what we can do as far as New Year's resolution. We can let mercy and truth never leave us. We can trust in the Lord, statement number two, with all of our hearts. Statement number three, we can not be wise in our own eyes. Statement number four, we can honor the Lord with our wealth. Statement number five, we are not supposed to despise the Lord's discipline. When God disciplines you in 2017, don't despise it. God is working in your life as one of his children. You know, we never spanked our children because we hated our children, because we despised our children, because we were trying to get even with our children. No, we did that because we loved our children, and we wanted to teach them to go the right direction, and that was a biblical way to do it. Listen to it. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 11 and 12, says, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord. It says, neither be weary of his correction. You ever see a child say, I'm tired of it. I'm tired of the rules. I'm tired. And so they run off to join the military. Or they run off to do something, and then there's more rules. It doesn't make any sense. But yet, that's the nature of man. The nature of man is that we don't want to be felt like we're restrained. We don't want to feel like we're limited. We want to make our own way. We want the freedom. We want the ability to fly without wings. But can I tell you, that's not the way the Lord works. See, the Lord will chasten us because we are his children. The Lord will bring strong things in our life to be able to help us, to guide us, to go the right direction because he does love us. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 12, the Bible says, for whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth. Amen. By the way, in child rearing, and we have raised 4 children, 3 boys, 1 girl, and can I tell you, in child rearing, if you let your kids get away with murder now, if you let your kids, if you would please, do everything they want to do and you never correct them now, you may not have a broken heart now because you're just frivolously letting your kids do whatever they want, but later on, they're going to break your heart. Later on, you're going to feel the pain. Now, can I tell you, God has the answer. He says, for whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth. The Bible says, even as a father a son in whom he delighteth. You know, one kid may look at that and say, well, I just wish my parents wouldn't delight in me so much. But the Bible teaches here that there needs to be those promptings we understand. You know, when God disciplines you, it's because he loves you. That's a prompting he is showing you. It's saying, don't go that way anymore. I'm trying to narrow your path. I'm trying to narrow your path, okay? As God would try to narrow your path, don't be upset with God. By the way, if God uses a godly mama or God uses a godly daddy to be able to do such, don't get mad at the godly mama or the godly daddy that tries to narrow your path. New Year's resolution. Let mercy and truth never leave you. Statement number 2, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Statement number 3, do not be wise in your own eyes. Statement number 4, honor the Lord with your wealth. Statement number 5, do not despise the Lord's discipline. Statement number 6, search diligently for wisdom until you find it. Search for wisdom until you find it. Now, by the way, don't be in a hurry. Don't be impatient with yourself. You know, the challenge that preachers have nowadays, let me tell you the challenge that preachers have nowadays, more than preachers that lived 20 years ago, and that is this. Our society has become an action-packed society. It's action-packed. I mean, kids sit down and it's the action shows that they like. It's the action movies that people are flocking to. It's the action games that people... All right, so when they come to church, unless they have a great degree of interest, say, in growing in the Lord or learning a Bible principle or something like that, all of a sudden, they'll stay with it for a little while, and then they dump it and they turn it off because after a while, it doesn't interest them anymore. It's true. You know, that's how come young people, especially here in America, where all these things are so readily available... Check the attendance of young people in churches across America, and you see it's a dying breed across America because the competition is way up here. Now, what we need is we need young people that say, okay, I'm going to sit long enough to learn something. You know, it's hard for young people today, and I've watched this. It is hard for young people today to sit and read a book and concentrate. It's harder for a young person to study today than ever before. It's harder to concentrate on that study. You know, it's like, you know, if there's not an action figure running across the page as you're studying, it's like, I'm not interested in this. I don't want to read that paragraph. I don't want to read that page. I definitely don't want to read that chapter. What do you mean think? Can't you illustrate it out? Can't you draw a cartoon so I can more easily, functionally be able to handle it? I mean, can't you act it out so that I can be able to grasp it? And it seems like the educational level of our young people is becoming greatly depressed, especially here in the West, because everything around them, they're trying to compare, and it's got to be this action, it's got to be this, it's got to be that, it's got, you know, it would be good for some of you, and don't think I'm saying you have to do this, but for some of you, it might be good just to trash your television set for the sake of the education of your kids. To teach them how to read. Well, that didn't go over well. Well, I tell you for sure. But it might be good maybe just to kind of put the phone up for a little while. Teach them to communicate. Teach them to talk. Sit down and say, hey, listen, we're not going to text anybody for the next 3 minutes. We're going to have a conversation. You know, I'm saying this. I'm saying here we do understand that we are supposed to be those type of people that don't despise that which is the chastening of the Lord. And yes, also diligently search for wisdom until you find it. You know, one of the things I've enjoyed, Rebecca's homesick this morning. Please pray for her. But we have immensely enjoyed my father-in-law being in and our daughter being in. And just sitting around in the living room with no disturbances whatsoever and just conversating. I mean, just talking, just spending time, and laughing and laughing and laughing and having a good time and just conversating. You know, I think sometimes if we're not careful, Brother Craig, it becomes a thing of the past. And it ought not be. I'm saying this. I'm saying search diligently for wisdom until you find it. Watch what it says. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 13. I'm almost done. It says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. Look at verse 14. It says, for merchandise, listen to it now, for the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver and the gain of thereof than fine gold. Look at verse 15. The Bible says she is more precious than rubies. Talking about wisdom. It says, and in all the things, that's the things that people live for, things. And in all the things, it says, that thou canst desire are not to be compared to her. He said, look, if you just get wisdom, if you just take what I have for you, you're going to get the other two. But now watch this, if you will. He says, I've got something for you. And I'll show you what it says here. Look at verse 16. The Bible says, for length of days is in her right hand. And it says, and in her left hand is the riches and honor. So in the strongest hand that you got should be wisdom. And the weakest hand that you got should be riches and honor. I should be less worried about this than I am about this. I should want wisdom more than I want riches and honor. I should want the wisdom of God, saying, God, give me wisdom more than I value that which is a car, or more than I value that which is a house, or more than I value that which is the prestige of having a name that is popular. No, I should want the wisdom more, because God said, in that is the hope that you have. Let me give you one last thing, and I'm done. And that is this. We understand that God has for us these things. And you'll read further down in the chapter, but I'm going to pick up at verse 25 and watch, and I'm done. And that is the resolution of having no fear. God says that as you step out and you take and put some things implementing in your life, don't have fear about those things. In other words, trust Him. Trust Him. When our kids were just little, I would stand, and they would stand on the counter. Probably every parent in here has done this at one time or another. And I would say, and they'd be right there, counter right here, body right here. We'd say, jump. And they would jump. The other day I saw, I think it was Jared. Our son had Andrew, our grandson. And he put Andrew, our grandson, on a table type thing. And he was standing right next to him, and he said, jump. Andrew, because the fact Jared was right there, right there. I mean, he jumped right in there. No problem. He backed up a little bit, and he said, jump. No problem. No problem. Andrew jumped. I didn't leap either, just like plop, jumped. And Jared caught him, and it built his confidence a little bit. Then Jared backed up several steps. And he looked at Andrew and he said, jump. Andrew looked at him and said, no. And Jared tried to coach him, said, come on, jump. And Andrew, no. Then he moved up just a little bit, and Andrew didn't jump. He just kind of pushed off with his toes to dive. Now, can I tell you, I don't know what God has for you this next year. God might be saying, here's what I want you to do. Take a step of faith. God might be saying, I want you to take a leap of faith. God might be saying, I want you to be able to get enough strength and enough momentum to dive into faith. You know, it's amazing what you can do when you trust him greater. Watch this, and I'm done. Here's what it says in verse 25. It says, be not afraid of sudden fear. In other words, when there's sudden fear, don't be afraid of that. Stay calm. Stay calm. The other day, we were riding back to Forney, where I live. Traffic was piled up. One of two things is happening when it's not a business hour of travel. It is that either somebody broke down or there was a wreck. And 9 times out of 10 with Texas drivers, it's a wreck. And sure enough, it was. And man, here's this guy. He's got this nice suit on. He's driving about a $30,000, $40,000 car. And he is out. And this guy behind him is coming up. And he's driving about, oh, $1,500 car. And apparently slammed in the back of his car. And honestly, the $1,500 car is probably more messed up than the other one, but both of them totally messed up. And the guy with the nice suit on and stuff like that, getting out, and he is yelling and he is screaming and he is jumping up and down and he's throwing his fist into the air and stuff like that. And the first thing I thought when I drove by is, well, he lost it. You know, I've seen people get upset because the red light does not turn green according to their time. I've had people pass me, and I mean, they pass me, and I'm driving like a normal person, like I think normal people should drive. And they pass me, and they throw hands up, and sometimes they'll throw hands up, and it turns out to maybe be one or two fingers. And I'm thinking, okay, they're having trouble counting. And I'll wave at them. That doesn't set well. But I see the impatience of it. People are that way around church. You know, they come to church thinking, man, I hope he preaches a 5-minute sermon. Because I got to go eat. People are that way about relationships. Man, I want that relationship fixed right now. I mean, right now. If you don't make that relationship right now, right, then can I tell you your history? And I'm giving you 5 minutes to make it right. We're that way about relationships. We're that way about the Lord. Lord, I've been asking you to answer this prayer for a long time, and since you have not done it, you must not love me. We're that way about the Lord. Now, I'm saying there's some resolutions we need to put in our lives to help us be more mature Christians, to help us be able to trust him more, to help us to be able to get the blessings of God in our lives even more. And what type of resolution should we have? Line them up with your Bible. Line them up with principles. And then step out. You know, the Christian life is not Six Flags all the time. Six Flags is not Disneyland or Walt Disney World. It's not that way all the time. There has to come a time when you realize the Christian life is just one day at a time, just living, one day at a time helping people, one day at a time loving people, one day at a time forgiving people, one day at a time walking beside people, one day at a time just living it the way we're supposed to live it. Amen. Father, bless, we do pray. Thank you for church.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.